All right, folks, here comes another podcast with me and my buddy Kay Fitz. I might get my buddy Weldon on here maybe a little later this week. I'll have to touch base with him and see if he's free. It's kind of cool to have different hosts on here, and I'm very thankful that I'm allowed to do so. So anyways, let's get on this, and let's talk some hockey. The man.
Hey.
What's cracking?
Oh, not much. First things first, congratulations on the award, my friend, as voted on by our listeners.
Oh gosh, you were part of that.
Yeah, but if it weren't for you, there would be no show.
No. Actually, if it wasn't for the owner of BS3, there would be no show.
Well, this is true, too. Yes, if it weren't for the owner, but if it weren't for you to have the gumption to get out there and do the show, there would be no show.
Oh, shoot. Well, I do have a face for radio, you know. Wait, that's not how that goes. What is it? Yeah, that is how that goes.
Yeah, that is how it goes. You have a face for radio.
That was a joke, either way. Okay.
Well, let's see. I guess we should start off with, right off the bat, you had posed a question to me yesterday, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing it, but basically you were asking me what my thoughts were or were on the importance of playing preseason-style games or scrimmages, and if I think they're important or if I think that they're not as important. Kind of what you were asking?
Yeah, give or take. But in a hockey sense, that is, because, you know, hockey show.
But, right.
Yeah, I mean, like, we have our thing about the NFL, off camera or off mic, whatever this is called, off mic. And, you know, I have my thoughts on that as well. I agree but disagree in a way, but very much agree, if that makes sense. With your point of view, and I'm wondering, what about hockey?
Well, so you look at things, and I want to kind of just put it into your kind of phrase, because you like to look at things from more of a managerial, sports management type mind frame, because that's kind of the degree that you've got and what you've studied and what you kind of perfected, correct?
Yeah, give or take.
Okay, so and I get where that stance is coming from, but however, as somebody who has actually played sports and done physical activities and things of that nature, and who has come back from injuries and things that, back in my day, I used to skate. I did taekwondo, and I played, you know, some football in high school and things of that nature. So I am quite, man, I'm pushing 50 now. I can't believe it. I'm 47 now. Jeez. 3 years away from AARP. Woo! That was wonderful to find out. But anyway. So, that being said, the importance of getting out there and actually seeing the speed of the game, because don't get me wrong, yes, practice is good. Practice is great. You know, that's in practice is where you work on what we call, you know, muscle memory. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where, you know, you can do things without thinking of them. It becomes second nature. However, bad thing about just focusing on practice alone and not focusing on actual like scrimmages and full speed scrimmages. And when I'm talking full speed, I'm talking, you know, pads, skates, everything as far as hockey goes, you know, and it's actually like an offense versus defense in an actual game mindset. Is the speed of the game is way different and the intensity is going to be way different. So when you're practicing, yes, you're wanting to practice, but you're more focused on making yourself look good. And you're not so much focusing on, you know, going after goaltenders as hard as you can because you don't want to make your goaltender look bad. You're not as focused on body checking because you don't want to be that guy that injures your own player. So while practice is good, it's nowhere near the same as in an actual game setting where you're actually going up against other teams. That being said, I also firmly believe, let's say you have a 3-game series or a 4-game series, and that's your preseason. You're going to play 4 games against a certain team, and I'm fine with that. That's fine. You don't need to cure yourself. You don't need to go up against other teams to get into, you know, game shape or get into that game mindset or get used to that game speed. You know, you could set it up with just one team and just do a 4-game series, you know, 2 at home, 2 at their home. And that way, you know, you kind of give both homes an opportunity. Now, the first couple of games, yeah, I strongly suggest, you know, sit your starters. Let them relax, let them rest, let them get their practice, and let them view the game and let them see certain things, because sometimes just visual can help. However, I do believe in the last 2 games, that you should at least play your starters for at least a period. I don't think they need to play the entire game because, yes, I understand from a sports management, you don't want them to get injured, but they do need to get their bodies conditioned. You've got to get used to those hits that are going to be coming. And so many times, and I've seen it, I've witnessed it personally, and I've seen it in professional sports, be it the NFL, be it Major League Baseball, be it basketball, NBA, be it college, it doesn't matter. If you sit your starters out and you just let them relax the entire preseason, they don't do anything, they are actually going to be at a higher risk of injury. And so many times have we seen, be it a running back, a quarterback in the NFL, a left wing, right wing, where they'll get on the ice for that first game or two, and all of a sudden now they're injured because they didn't play during that preseason and their body is not conditioned for the speed of the game. Neither is their mind. You see a lot of starters make a lot of mistakes those first couple games that didn't play because, once again, and if you've never played sports, you're not going to understand what I'm saying when I say the speed of an actual game is a lot faster, a lot more intense, and there's a lot more going on than a practice, a scrimmage, or something of that nature.
Oh, I get it. I wholeheartedly get it. Because it's a whole different thing. Like, you're playing against your opponent, you know, you got to get your hockey legs or sports legs under you because it's going to hit you, and it's going to hit you hard, it's going to hit you quick, and it's going to hit you out of the blue if you don't expect it.
Right, and I don't know how hockey is. I haven't really, I'll be honest with you, even when I followed hockey to a T, yes, I followed transactions and things like that. I never followed preseason very much. I really didn't. I never really did. So I don't know how hockey does it, where if there's certain players that are like redshirted, like the NFL, where you have quarterbacks that are redshirted and you're not to touch them. So I don't know if the NFL or the NHL has that same type program where, say, your captain, your assistants, and things of that nature are, you know, don't touch them, don't hit them, because we don't want these players getting injured. So, you know, and I guarantee in a mindset, if you're out there on the ice, and let's just say you're a rookie, or you play for one of the minor league teams like the Texas Stars, and you're doing a preseason scrimmage against the Dallas Stars, in the back of your mind, you are not going to go after a Jason Robertson or Rupi Hintz or a Jamie Benn, just for the fact of you don't want to be that guy that injures that player. You really don't. And other teams are not going to have that mindset. So while, yes, I love scrimmages and scrimmages are great, but it's not going to condition you. Just like a quarterback in the NFL, you're not going to have the speed of the game. You're not going to have your timing. You're not going to have your rhythm with your receivers. And that's where I think a lot of teams make huge mistakes. Are there quarterbacks out there that can do that in the NFL? Yes. Are there players in the NHL that could probably do that? Yes. But I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I see. I see what you're saying, because timing and rhythm, especially in hockey, is everything.
Oh, it is completely everything. You could throw an entire line off. And as a coach, if you're trying to evaluate different lines, how are you going to actually evaluate that line if it's not in a full speed, full contact situation?
That's true. That's absolutely true. And you're not going to be in a full speed, full contact situation playing your own guys. And for that matter, if you're having a scrimmage against the Texas Stars and, you know, somebody goes to hit a Robertson or Ben, you might see somebody throw hands.
Oh, yeah. That puts
everybody in danger, you know.
And they will definitely take it something personal, a lot more personal than if they were playing, say, the Avalanche, because I think they would take that personal too. But, good Lord, I can't even think of a team right now that they could play that they wouldn't take it personal with right now, because we've got so many rivalries right now. We've got Vegas, we've got the Avalanche, we've got Minnesota. I mean, because it would have to be, if you were going to do a scrimmage, it would have to be outside the division. You would not want to do it against the division rival, because then you're just really opening it up for bad blood and bad things to happen.
You'd almost have to do it against the Canadian team.
You almost would. You almost really would.
Like a Montreal or somebody off the wall, because, you know, even Edmonton there for a while in the early 2000s, they were playoff buddies, you know.
You know what? And you might even get away with like a North American team, or even a Western team like the Kings, or even like the Detroit Red Wings.
Solid point.
But you definitely wouldn't want to do someone in your own division, because I think that would just be that would be taking a bonfire and just throwing like napalm in the middle of it and expecting it to go out. You know, it's just it's going to go uncontrollable.
I like how you describe that, because that's pretty spot on, really. Like, you got to be careful. And, you know, I mean, for hockey, though, it is different. You'll see Jamie Benn out there a little bit more, Sagan out there a little bit more, you know, that sort of thing. I don't think they're as protective, if that makes any sense, in hockey, at least for this Dallas team over the other one that plays on grassy turf stuff.
Right.
You're going to see all the people there, because we need all the people there. We need everybody in game condition, like you said. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I said they might sit out one game. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it works either. To an extent, I do, but I don't fully know, because I know if you play them every game, it does raise the risk of injury. Right. Because, you know, they do play division rivals in the preseason. I think they play St. Louis this year. I think that's in Tulsa, to be exact, or maybe Austin, one or the other. And, you know, I don't think they're going to care if it's preseason or not.
The whole thing about preseason, in my opinion, and too many people focus on winning and losing, the whole thing of a preseason game, in my mind, is not to win or lose. Yes, you want to win because you have that competitive spirit. But the whole premise of a preseason game is to get back into game shape, get that speed, get that mindset, get that rhythm going, get back into that cohesiveness that you have with the line that you're on. Maybe even test out new lines to test and see if maybe something might work. And that's where you formulate things. That's where things start to gel and mesh. Winning and losing is not the thing, because I hate to say it, no matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter how many wins you have in the preseason, and it doesn't matter what league you're in. That matters not to the regular season. It does not matter. As soon as the regular season starts, the preseason is forgotten. Those wins and losses, and those stats don't even count, if I'm not mistaken. I know in the NFL, the stats don't count. They don't count towards your, you know, however many stats you have per game, whatever. Whatever happens in the preseason, that's left in kind of limbo. It's gone. It's like it's a race. It's like it's in a black hole. I don't know if the NHL is the same way. I believe they are.
They are.
Where, you know, it doesn't matter. You could go out there and score 8 goals. It doesn't matter. It's not going to matter in the grand scheme of things when you're looking at the regular season. So when you look at preseason games, that's what it is. It's a preseason game. Don't worry about win losses. Get yourself in that mindset. Get your goalies in a good mindset. Get everybody into that mindset of, we need to gel. We need to figure this out. This is where we should try different things. If we want to try something funky, let's try it.
Oh, for sure. That's actually my mindset as well. You know, like, you don't have to put a Robertson, hence Pavelski, on the same line, you know, day in and day out in the preseason. I just want to see them play.
Yeah.
I don't care who they're with. I want to see how good they feel. I want to see if they're in a place where they haven't missed a beat since last season.
You don't have to follow the formula of right wing, left wing, center. You could throw 3 centers out there and just see what happens. Just to see. You know? I mean, let's just see what happens. Let's just throw 3 randoms out there and just let them have at it. That's what the preseason is for. Because you never know when you might wind up in a game situation and say, hey, you know what? During that preseason game, we were in a similar situation, and we put these 3 in, be it power play or whatever, special teams or whatever. Let's try that, and let's just see what happens. It worked in the preseason. Might work here.
That's a solid point. Man, I am so hyped for October. September can't even get here quick enough. Good grief.
Well, we're only a couple weeks away. Well, we're about a week and a half away from September, so.
It's driving me crazy. Like, it.
Well, you're gonna have the NFL to distract you for a little bit of that time. So.
Oh sure, yeah. Because my favorite team's turning into the second coming of the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, okay.
Your team's gonna have a quarterback issue, I guarantee it. or shall I say, controversy?
I almost said we. Like, I play for them. I don't. They live on controversy. I promise you that. It's always something up here. And, you know, that's a good thing. I would say it's a good thing for hockey. Let me tell you, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can tell you there's a lot of fans that are not happy. Even though they're happy with the pick that your NFL team got, they're not happy with how it went about, especially with all the news that's come out. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but apparently your owner – did it without even confirming with the GM or the head coach. He just did it.
For what, Trey Lance?
Uh-huh. That was the article I read this morning.
Mr. Gilardi, if you should happen to hear this, which I doubt, Mr. Lights, we love you. I'm just going to speak for the Stars fans that might or might not listen. We love you. Thank you for thinking with your whole heart. And not just your wallet.
Yeah, it's bad when you have ownership that kind of undermines the people that your ownership puts in place to be leaders in your organization.
Dude, it's wild, too, that, you know, I've been wanting to say this for a while because I've been thinking about Jim Lights and Gilardi. It's wild to me how 2 different people from 2 different places have did what they've done with the Stars
and have done so well up to this point. And then when you throw our head coach in there, I mean, it's like a 3-headed dragon. It's like, if you follow Godzilla, it's like Ghidorah, you know, you've got 3 heads going against you.
Yeah. If you chop one off, you still got the other 2.
Exactly.
Ooh, man. I'm going to go on a limb here, and I know I might catch flack for this if anybody's a fan of any of the other Dallas teams around here. I'm going to go on a limb here and say the Dallas Stars are the best team that claim Dallas as their home.
Well, if you look at popularity, I mean, I was reading something not too long ago that, you know, the Stars are actually kind of catching up on the Mavericks right now for the second most popular team up there in Dallas.
They should, man. They deserve it. They deserve it for the way they work. They deserve it for, I mean, playing for each other. And, I mean, I don't want to say they're a bunch of no-name players, but, you know, you've got a guy like Rupe Hintz, and then you've got Connor McDavid. I almost drew a blank on his last name. They call him McJesus, that's why. And that kind of threw my brain into a what? So you got, you know, they're not compared at all. Name, value, position, or otherwise. But we don't need that sort of thing in Victory Green.
No.
Like, they're all playing for each other. And look what they've done since they played for each other.
And I also did see this. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, all the home games have sold out now for the next season.
That's great. I love it for those guys. I really do.
That's really great, especially for the renovations they just did.
Oh, yeah, they're probably going to need that money.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited to see. I mean, even though I'll be seeing it on TV, but still, I'm kind of excited to see what the, you know, how it's going to look just on TV, you know.
Yeah, that big old scoreboard that we're supposedly going to have.
Uh-huh.
Oh, about time they did that. Like, I've seen the old one a few times, and in person and otherwise, it's just like, yeah, that's getting old there, dude. The arena's kind of getting old, too, not to discredit it, but you know, it might be time to upgrade some other things on there. I swear to you. Okay, here's a funny thing for you. When I went to a game in 2007, I think it was, it was one of Mike Modano's last games, and my parents wanted me to take a photo with the Ice Girls. I swear to you, I peeled out of there so fast in my wheelchair. At the time I graduated college a couple of years ago, my tire tracks were still in that exact same spot. Like, yeah, I can point them out to you and go, yeah, that was me. And that was a different chair back then, too. And it's just like, I don't know what the point of that is, what I'm trying to make there, but you know. It's just, I don't know. I need hockey. That's what it is.
And well, I can tell you this much, and I don't know, because I don't know how other fans are, but I have been to both the stadiums that the Dallas Cowboys have played in. I've been to the old Texas Stadium, and I've been to AT&T Stadium, which I was just at this last weekend before last. We went there to go see the Metallica concert. Awesome concert. If you guys live in an area where they're coming to and you haven't got tickets, you need to get tickets, because it was amazing. But let me tell you something. That, as someone who's been to both, I can tell you, hands down, AT&T Stadium, number one, the seating was much more comfortable than the old Texas Stadium. Number two, it was a lot more... it was an easier access as far as like to get to, like when you wanted your drinks, foods, and things of that nature. And the scoreboard, that screen in the middle of the, man, I tell you what, that's impressive. It really is something you have got to see, because words just don't give it justice. And I know when they built that stadium, it was at the time the largest LED board ever made. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, since then they've converted over to LCD, because when they first built it, LED was the thing, and now it's LCD. So now I think they've converted it to the LCD, which is just phenomenal. But I mean, they didn't light it up during the actual concert itself, but they lit it up in the I think if they lit it up during the concert, it might have been really distracting, to be honest with you, but they had it lit up during the intermissions and stuff, which was really cool. But
all 60 yards of it.
It was quite impressive. It was quite impressive. And I'll be honest with you, and just judging, we were in section 227, which is not all the way down, but it's low enough. But I'll be honest with you, even just looking around, it didn't seem like there was a bad seat in the whole stadium. Now, that being said, I've also been to see a concert in the stadium where the Stars play. What is it, the American Airlines Stadium?
American Airlines Center.
Center, yeah, there you go. But we went and saw Bon Jovi. My wife and I went and saw Bon Jovi there a couple years ago. And I hope they improved the seating a little bit because, yes, the seating was fine, but it was a little uncomfortable. Seats were kind of, you know, kind of wonky. Not like bad, but they were just kind of, you know, kind of close. Now, we have here in Austin a new center that they actually just built, and I can't believe they just built this. We have the Frank Irwin Center, which has been there for years. It's what UT uses. And now they have the Moody Center. I would much rather go to the Moody Center, American Airlines Center, or any other center than that Moody Center. The Moody Center seating is horrible. My wife and I went and saw Journey there about a month or so ago. And the seating was that was the most uncomfortable arena, whatever I've ever been to. I've been to high school centers that didn't have that uncomfortable seating. And so hopefully if anybody's listening from the Moody Center, I mean, honest and truly, and that makes a difference, especially when you're a fan. The reason I'm going through all of this is because fan experience is what drives your fan base. Now, yes, there's going to be fans that are going to want to go see, because I think at that Moody Center they were advertising they're going to have the Big 12 NCAA basketball tournament, whatever, there for the Southern Division of it, or I don't know. I saw advertisements. But I'll be honest with you, if I were a basketball fan in the NCAA, I think I'd much rather just sit at home and watch it in the comfort of my home than after going there and paying the money that you pay for the seats. And the seats just, I'll be honest with you, I'm not big, but I'm not small by no means. I'm what I would say above average size for my age. But I'm telling you, if you were a person that was bigger than me, there's no possible way you could be comfortable in the seating that we sat in. There's just no way. There's just no way. And yes, I understand they want to pack as many seats into an arena as they can. But in all honesty, these people that are making these centers and these arenas need to go take a tour of some of the stadiums. Oh, and I've also been to Reliant Stadium, which is down in Houston. Seating is just like the one at the AT&T Stadium. I mean, just awesome. Just awesome. Comfortable. Not a bad seat, really, as far as I could tell. Have a clear view of the entire field, no matter really where you're from, you know, one end zone to another. Of course, it doesn't matter. You can have perfect seating and you're still going to have issues with seeing from end zone to end zone when they're on the opposite side. But still, you know, and I think with the renovations that the Dallas Stars have done to the American Airlines Center, and with the winning ways the Dallas Stars have been, that right there alone is probably what has fueled this, you know, this fan base to sell out every home game.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And there are new seating being installed, or they had already before the offseason
started.
Yeah,
I saw the pictures.
So, I mean, they got good stuff going for them. But I just hope that the product on the ice matches up. And you got me concerned about how they're going to play in the preseason now. Are they going to start Jamie Benn?
Like I said, I've never really followed. I'm going to follow it this year. I really never have followed the Stars during the preseason. I'm going to follow it this year. If I get some time, I'm going to try to go there to Austin. Well, I say Austin because it's in the
Cedar
Austin.
Park.
For me, it's, yeah, Cedar Park's Austin. Cedar Park, Round Rock. Austin, it's all Austin to me. I'm sorry, but anyway, so if I get some time, I'm probably going to head up that way and, you know, see if I can watch a practice or two. It'd be cool. Maybe get an autograph or two. Maybe, you never know.
Ooh, I'm gonna have to elbow you and be like, hey, don't forget me.
But yeah, I'm actually gonna pay attention to it this year because I am kind of interested to see how it runs now. You've kind of sparked my interest because I'll be honest with you, even the NFL, I've never been a big fan of the preseason. However, I'm more of a fan of the way the NFL used to do it back in the 80s and 90s. You know, I used to follow the preseason pretty religiously back then. And then I stopped following it because it got boring because, you know, used to be the first preseason game, you would never see a starter.
Mm-hmm. And
we understood that. But by the second game, you would start seeing starters in there during the first couple series. And then by the third preseason game, they play, you know, a whole quarter. And then by the last preseason game, the starters would play a full half. That's how they do it.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, I don't know when it changed. I don't know when it converted. But all of a sudden, it turned into this, the starters just don't play in the preseason. And I am not a big fan of that. So I just stopped paying attention to the preseason. To me, the preseason just became kind of a joke. You know, it was more of, okay, well, let's just see who's going to make the 53-man roster in the NFL, and we'll go from there. I mean, that's pretty much all it was. You know, I mean, preseason, I mean, it's almost like the Pro Bowl. You know, I don't agree with the Pro Bowl being at the end of the season. I think the Pro Bowl should be mid-season.
Mid-season?
I do, yeah.
Like the All-Star game for the NHL.
Like the All-Star game. You know, I know everybody gets a bye week and things of that nature. Well, you know what? This is what I would do. Instead of making bye weeks throughout the season and you've got this team, because you've got some teams that'll go almost 8 games before they get their bye week. And then you got some teams that go 4 games and then they got their bye week. Instead of that, you make it to where you do a 2-week break. Everybody gets a bye this week. The next week is the Pro Bowl, and then we go right back into it.
Interesting.
And so, then you don't have the worry of, oh God, if this team makes it to the Super Bowl, well, now that player. And I'm sorry, but to me, I count that it being that us as fans get to vote. Well, now that player that you voted for is not going to play because he's going to be in the Super Bowl. So now he's not going to be in the Pro Bowl. It makes absolutely no sense. And yes, I still say you play by the same rules, you know, no rushing the quarterbacks and things of that nature, because you don't want people to get hurt. And also, honestly, the Pro Bowl is just to have fun and to recognize, your players. And that's why I say, you know, it wouldn't be so bad. You know, you have now they've got, a 17-game season? It's some weird number now. It used to be a 16.
Yeah, something like that.
I saw it's a weird number now. I've lost touch with some of that stuff, to be honest with you.
They've added they took away a preseason game, added a regular season game, and somehow there's still the same amount of games, if that makes any sense.
It's kind of weird. Okay. Anyway.
That's why I stick to hockey.
So let's say you got a 15-game season.
Give or take.
Yeah, play up to week 8, give or take. Play up to week 8. Week 9, break. Week 10, Pro Bowl. And then you finish off the season to the Super Bowl.
That's interesting. That is kind of putting it in the way of the NHL. Because then it truly is an all-star game.
It's a true all-star game like all sports.
When you do it that way, yes.
You do it that way, yeah.
Because I believe NBA does it the same way. I don't think it's at the end of the season.
No, I think the NFL is the only one that does it at the end of the season.
And MLB does it somewhere in the middle of the season.
Oh yeah, maybe they have the All-Star break.
Yeah, you're right. I get it. I don't know, man. I'm just a hockey nerd. Don't look at me.
Anyway, enough on the NFL. Back to hockey. No, I wouldn't be. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be worried about so much of the preseason. I think the NHL, I'm pretty sure, is going to be a little bit different than other sports as far as, you know, getting their players on the ice and things of that nature. Because I think they kind of understand that, yes, they need to get up to that game speed. You know, you don't want somebody – and you've also not only got to get up to that game speed, but you've got to get up to that playing for long periods of time on ice.
Yeah.
You know, just – so most of these other sports are in air-conditioned arenas. They're on grass. They're outside in the elements and things of that nature. But when you are in a cold, freezing, frigid arena and you're on ice, you are much more prone to injuries. To take from one of my favorite lines from a movie that I love to death, you know, Cool Runnings, you know, when John Candy's character, when he said, no, in a bobsled on ice, bones don't break, they shatter. You know, I mean, that's true to form. I mean, yes, when you're on ice like that and you're in a frigid condition, your muscles and your bones and your joints are going to work a lot different than when you're outside in the heated elements and things of that nature in an air-conditioned situation. So, yeah, not only are you conditioning yourself, for your mindset to be in the game, but you're conditioning your body to be used to being in that environment.
Yep.
In my opinion, ice hockey probably, and I'll put it up against any NFL game, be it in the snow, be it in the rain, be it in whatever. Ice hockey, day in, day out, is probably one of the harshest environments a sports player is going to be on or be in, game in, game out.
Yeah. Because you either A, break a bone on the ice, get your throat slashed, your wrist slashed. You know, we've seen all that. If you're a true hockey fan, then you know, who was it? Somebody on the Avalanche got their throat slashed. Somebody got their wrist slashed. Tyler Seguin got his Achilles tendon slashed once.
Yep.
By a skate. And so, yeah, it's the harshest one. I think that may be why I've become more of a hockey fan than a football fan as of late. Because, you know, they do so much, and man, they just keep going.
Your opponent has a weapon in his hand. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's true.
Tell me another sport except for field hockey that has something like that. I mean, you got Major League Soccer, you're not allowed to use your hands. I mean, you got NFL, I guess you could say that they've got helmets they could swing around as a weapon, but that. That doesn't really happen a lot. I mean, yes, it has happened, but it's not something that happens every game. But every game in an NHL game, you're playing against opponents and yourself, and you've all got a weapon in your hand. And if you're smart enough and know how to use said weapon without getting caught, yeah, you're in a very dangerous, heated environment right there, if you ask me.
Yeah. Sometimes the people are the weapon, too.
Yeah. And, you know, the NHL, once again, is the only league, professional league, that will allow a fight to happen.
Yeah, that's true. And, hey, they're trying to cancel that, by the way.
They don't need to cancel that. That's part of the dang sport, NHL. Knock it off. Please do not do that to this sport. That is a tradition in this sport.
I mean, look, you can either let them hammer it out on the ice or carry whatever grievances they have through the game and let them injure somebody else.
Well, here's my question. Okay. Let me tell you. Here's ice sticking is illegal, right?
Yep.
But it still happens, doesn't it?
Yep.
Okay. Do you think if they make it illegal in the NHL to fight, is it going to stop the fighting?
Oh, heck no. They're still going to throw hands.
So what, getting rid of it, you're not really going to get rid of it. I mean, you got grown men out there that are going to have beefs in it and they're going to square off. And I'm sorry, I don't care how fast or how strong your referees are. They are not going to stop it.
No.
When it's ready to go, it's gonna go, and they'll find ways to get it to go. So no, you're not. And you know what? You can sit there and say, well, if we implement it and we explain to them that it's not gonna be permitted, okay. I mean, high sticking is against the rules. It's not permitted, and you get a penalty for it. And I hate to say it, but some of these guys, they get fines left and right. Do you really think fining them for fighting is gonna, if they have a bad enough beef against somebody, do you really think fining them is gonna affect them? No.
No, they'd be happy to pay that fine as long as they could get their hands on that other guy.
Exactly.
So, I
Yeah.
mean,
Leave it alone.
fighting.
It's part of the game. Don't mess with my NHL, please. No, I'm being as honest as I can be. That I think would turn a lot of the fan base away.
I mean, it's a lot better than seeing them carry that grudge or whatever you want to call it throughout the game and trying to go for the guy's head for whatever happened, you know? Just let him fight, let him get it over with, and you're done with it. And keep the three fight suspension rule, I think that's in place, where if you get in three fights, you get a fine, and if you do it again or some mess like that, you get suspension.
See, and I agree with that. You know, it's kind of like to take from one of my other favorite sports. One of my favorite sports. I don't follow it as much as I used to, but I used to follow NASCAR. And I don't know how much the rules have changed. Somebody might have to let me know that or whatever, because, like I said, I have not followed it in probably 3 years. And I'm pretty sure the rules have changed. But that being said, back in the day, there was a thing that was called bump drafting. And some drivers didn't like it. Well, unfortunately, that's racing. Dale Earnhardt Sr. was a master at bump drafting. A master. He could teach a master class on how good he was at it. And that's racing. And in fact, he emphatically said that's racing. And at one point, the NASCAR was talking about getting rid of bump drafting. And you know, the fan base stood up and we're not coming. And I believe if you got rid of fighting in the NHL, there's a portion of this fan base. Because look, once again, just like NHL or just like NASCAR, people that watch NASCAR, yes, we love the sport of it, and we want our driver to win, and we love the strategy and things of that nature. But we also wreck sometimes. I hate to say it, and no, we don't want someone to get hurt. So please don't take it like that. It's just part of it. It's part of it. And we understand that when we watch a race, there may be a bad wreck. And we're not on pins and needles waiting for it to happen. But when it happens, it does excite you. It kind of gets exciting because these wrecks are crazy. Especially when you have a major wreck that looks like horrid and nobody gets injured in it. And you're like, how in the world? And you just realize how safe these cars are these days. But that being said, in the NHL, we don't sit there and say, oh, I hope this person gets into a fight. Oh, I want them to fight. But when it happens, we as a fan base get excited. It's part of hockey, especially when you watch it live. There's nothing more exciting watching a live game than watching a fight. Other than another player, a player on your team getting a hat trick, I can't think of anything else that's more exciting in the game of hockey than when two players get into it. Can you?
No, and I feel like a fight would probably add energy to the team that won it too, because, you know, I mean, here, look, it's even in the video game where whoever wins the fight, the team gets energized from the good vibes, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, from the fight. Like it energizes them because they stand tall, you know?
Listening to the radio, and then a song comes on that you just it just hypes you up, and you've got this sudden burst of energy because that song really just hits you.
Oh yeah.
Same thing. Same thing.
Yeah. Exactly. And I feel like fighting, do I go ahead and say it the way that I'm thinking? fighting would take the wind out of their sails in a way, because, you know, like I keep saying, they might actually get injured. You know, I could see somebody like Sidney Crosby, who has a reputation for being a crybaby. You know, I could see him getting hit all over the place if somebody didn't fight for him. He's not going to fight. He's the captain. He's the anchor of that team.
And into that, you take fighting out of it. You take that element out of it. You take that option away from players. And what other option are they left with? Well, I'm just going to hurt this guy.
Right. It's also a defense. You know, fights don't happen just because, oh, I hate that guy. Fights happen because, hey, you hit that guy just a little bit low, and I'm going to make sure you know about it.
Yep.
And, you know, it's very good for the team, the game, and it bugs me to my very core. I've said this to you last season. It bugs me to my very core that the Stars just kind of let hits happen.
Yeah. We don't really have that enforcer player yet.
No, we don't. We need it.
Works this season, but we haven't had it yet.
Luckily for us, I don't think the big tough enforcers are in the Western Conference this year. I think he might have went to the East. I can't remember though. So I'll have to look at that. But anyways, man, let's shift gears again. Can you give me your prediction on the four lines and maybe even the defenders you think the Stars will bring out preseason?
Oh, hold on. I got to pull up my little tablet here real quick. Give me a second.
We'll give you this one. Hence, Pavelski Robertson's obvious.
That's an obvious one, and I think you're still going to keep Johnson with Ben. I don't know who you're going to put with him, though, yet.
The Donoff.
That's who I would pick.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see. One second here. I got to figure my little tablet out here, as my granddaughter calls it. My tablet.
Tablet. Here's an interesting one for you, too, while you're doing that. Where do you put Duchesne? Duchesne is a second-line, first-line guy, in my honest opinion. I think you could put him up there and bump everybody else down. You know, first line all the way down would be Jamie Benn, I guess, to the fourth line. I don't even know, but you've got so much offensive power now with just the addition of Duchesne. That's absolutely nuts to me.
Why are you running so slow today?
I'm not even going to ask for the brand on air because, yeah, that's not a good look.
it is an Amazon fire.
We're not blasting Amazon. Don't come for our heads. Okay, so hence Pavelski Robertson, Ben Dodonov Johnston, in no particular order. What about Craig Smith or what's that other dude's name? Why did I draw a blank? Oh, my gosh. Oh, what's that dude's name? Not Smith, but the other guy. Huh?
Radek Foxa?
Foxa, Duchesne, and no, Steele. There it is. Foxa, Duchesne, Steele. Ooh. Could you imagine that line?
Or what about Marchment, Seguin, and Duchesne?
Wait, what? Marchment, Seguin, and Duchesne.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. You want to call Marchment out for a bad season last season because he didn't get you 98 million goals. Oof. I mean, look at Duchesne's stats. He's a little bit of a playmaker. He'll dish it out, too. You know, he doesn't have to just score. So, you put him in there with Marchment, man. Oh, boy. Wait, wouldn't that be a line of all centers, or is Marchment a wing? I think Marchment's a wing.
Marchment's a wing. But even if he was, a center. I'd still. So I would go your first line, Robertson, Hintz, Pavelski.
Mm-hmm.
Second line, of course, like you said, Ben, Johnson, Dodonna. And then I would go with, like what I just said, Marchment, Tyler Seguin, and Ducheney. And then for your fifth line, Delandria, Foxa, and Smith. And then defenseman, you've got Suter and Haskinen, Harley and Hockenpah, Dell and Lundqvist.
I hope Lundqvist stays on it and is able to play the full season. I really do. He was, as we discussed in the last show with me and my buddy Weldon, he was supposed to be real big, at least everybody thought, because he brought his own, set of skills to the team, and for whatever reason, you just saw him peter out. I hope he stays on it, man. I have high hopes for that D court, and I don't think you blame Suter or Lindell for the problems. If you're going to blame one, you got to blame them all.
Right.
And
like, even though I've had to let it go, you can't really blame Ben for the loss of that series.
No. You really can't.
I have to let it go.
I mean, hey, they win together, they lose together. And when they decide they want to win together, man, they go to the Stanley Cup Finals in 2020.
What I'm excited for is I wonder what our power play units are going to look like this season.
Dude, can you throw some of those lines out there? What do you got?
Well, let's see here. I would, just to kind of throw one out here, I would go with Pavelski, Hintz, Ben, Robertson, and I would throw Ducheney in there with that one for my first one.
Interesting. That's a lot of speed on that line, and a lot of oomph on there too.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Oh my. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is why I just told you a little while ago. That Victory Green team, that might be the best team we have that claimed Dallas as home. Just saying.
Yeah, and then for your second power play unit, I'd go Haskinen, Seguin, Dodonna, Johnson, and Lundqvist.
Wow. Run that by me again.
Ducheney, Seguin, Dodonna. I'm sorry, not Ducheney. Haskinen, Seguin. I was looking at my other list here. Haskinen, Seguin, Dodonna, Johnson, and Lundqvist.
Haskinen, Seguin, Dodonoff. Oh, I guess I got confused. Haskinen, Seguin, Johnston, and Haskinen. Wait, and who?
Haskinen, Seguin, Dodonoff, Johnston, and Lundqvist.
That, my brain just short circuited twice hearing that. You heard it too. My brain, that is. Like, I can feel smoke coming out of my ears. Whoa.
And I'm just saying, these are some of the things they could play with in the preseason.
Man, Sam Steele out there, too? Oof.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of Steele. He's one of them players you could throw into any line, and I think it would work.
Part of me was to see him with a Johnston and Delandria for the preseason, see if the young guys gel.
That would be a very interesting one.
the young, what's it called? The youthful speed?
Yeah.
I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it,
a lot of speed, especially with Johnston and Steele. Oof.
And freaking Steele can snipe.
That's how snipe, yeah, creativity.
Oh, no, no, no. Johnston and Steele definitely need to be on a line because Johnston is just creative.
Well, could you imagine, and I know we said to not hop on that Ben Johnston line, but could you imagine Ben Johnston and Steele?
All Ben would have to do, all Jamie would have to do is just sit there.
Quarterback it. That's all he'd have to do, quarterback that line.
Man, he could pass it to either one and not even have to lift a finger.
Yeah.
Oh, my. This is going to be such a fun season.
There's so many combinations you could play with. And that's why, that's kind of why I like what they did in the offseason. I like the pickups they got.
So, you too like where this team is at.
Oh, definitely.
That's wild. Okay, so I know that we're reaching both of our time limits, so I want to ask you this. Playoff predictions. What you got?
I think we make the finals this year.
Western Conference or Stanley Cup?
Stanley Cup.
Stanley Cup finals.
Yep.
All
the way to the cup.
Off of Duchesne, Steele, and Craig Smith's pickup.
And not only that, but this is, you know, year two of this, you know, system. I think everybody's kind of getting it picked up. Now then drew a blank or goalie.
Ottinger.
I think Wedgwood. I think Ottinger and Wedgwood both have a thing to prove. And I think we've got, you know, Matt Murray in the wings that can also come up and help us in the long run. There's an excellent goalie in his own right coming into his own. But I think, you know, I think that Robo has a lot to prove. You know, first of all, nobody's done what he's done so far. And I think he has that, you know, he's got that to where he's got to prove it now. You know, he's got to prove that the first two seasons, he had to prove last season that the first season wasn't a fluke. Well, now it wasn't a fluke. So now he's okay. Well, now it's not a fluke. We know you can do it. Now you got to do it.
There was no sophomore slump for that kid at all.
I think Johnston wants to solidify his name. If I were Johnston, I'll be honest with you. If I were Johnston, I would have the biggest chip on my shoulder for the way the NHL treated him and him not even being considered as even a top three finalist. I'd be seeing red. I would be seeing red. And then, like, let's just say they were to put him and Steele on the same line with Ben, you know, you've got two speed players, which are going to be difficult to defend against. Two players that not only can snipe, but can also, you know, have a very good hockey mind on them. And even, you know, Johnston was making shots that were out of this world. Like, who makes shots like that? And the thing I love about Johnston is he does not give up on a play.
Mm-mm.
And I don't know a whole lot about Steele, but if he's even half of what Johnston is, I know he's got the speed, and I know that he can snipe, because we've seen that in videos, but if he's even half of what Johnston is, and then you put him with them both with Ben, and I think Ben knows that his time is now starting to get limited, and this is probably going to be one of the best opportunities they're going to have. I can see them making that next step to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Man, that would be absolutely bonkers. I'm just going to throw this out there because the Cowboys get it, you know, every year. What if they win the Stanley Cup? What if this is the year?
What if it is?
Go ahead.
What if it is?
That's nuts. Like, absolutely nuts. The last time they won the Stanley Cup, they had to trade for a bunch of big name people. The biggest name people that we have besides Hintz, Robo, Pavelski are Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. Like, there's nobody else that other teams realize they have to plan for. There really isn't. You know, the top line is always their target. And then you add Ben, who is, well, Jamie Benn. Anybody else? Nah, they're not dangerous yet.
But see, I
Yeah.
think Johnson's going to come in.
Say again? You're breaking up.
Think that's where Johnson's going to come in.
Do you think he has a breakout season this year?
Think he does. I think we've seen flashes of what he's capable of, and I think he's going to get more opportunities this season.
And okay, I'm gonna throw this at you too. If I'm pushing your time limit, please let me know.
That's
But
all right.
I'd also like to know, what youngster do you see that has that sort of mindset where they're not afraid to get on the ice like a Johnston and a Robo? Who else breaks through that we may not expect?
Unfortunately, like I said, I haven't been following the Texas Stars as much as I should. I know we discussed a player, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Well, there's Stankoven, and then there's I'm drawing a blank now too. Gosh darn it. Stankoven and
I would say probably the one that I'm focused on the most would probably be Stanko.
that's
I
the
could
one that
see.
everybody's going with.
I could honestly and truly, I could see him, maybe not at the beginning of the season, but maybe towards that mid-season stretch, them bringing him up and him doing something.
Yeah, see, okay. So this is interesting because I had this discussion with the partner in crime the last show, and you know, the whole 9-game tryout thing. I feel like Stankoven, because he's got as much hype around him as Wyatt Johnston did. Once again, you know, they don't put preseason hockey game on TV, so I missed a lot of it. I didn't understand the hype. I saw him play and then I got it. I'm wondering how many games out of that 9-game tryout, because they need to be very careful with that. How many games of those 9 games is it going to take for them to realize that Stankoven and whoever the other guy is, Maverick Bork, there we go,
There you
is
go,
either
Maverick.
one of them, huh?
That was the other one, Maverick.
Which one of them takes the full 9 games? And for that matter, do either of them get a chance to get the 9 games, or do they knock it out of the park? That's what I'm excited to see, because they both have that Wyatt Johnston hype. They really do. And like, since I didn't get to see the preseason games, and you know, I watched the whatever highlights there were on YouTube and whatnot, like that's gonna be interesting to see. They have as much hype on them as Wyatt Johnston did. And so that leaves me wondering about the other 4 lines. Somebody's gonna have to get knocked out. Who is it?
That's a tough one, though.
Both of them are super, super, super hyped, which means somebody, and you know, my brain goes to Radek Foxa for whatever reason, because he's usually the one tossed around, I guess.
If there's anyone that I could think is kind of expendable, it'd be Radek Foxa.
Hate to say it, but you know, the other side of that coin is you leave him down in the minors for even more development. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I mean, you got that much hype. Look, Maverick Bork and Now I'm drawing a blank on the other one. Good grief. Stankoven.
Fork and Stanko.
Yeah. Both of them kind of proved themselves last season. Okay. Let's do the Jason Robertson treatment. Do it again.
Yeah. What have you done for me lately?
I mean, look, Robo's up for it.
What are you doing this year?
Robo, he stacked the deck against himself, I think.
Robo now, he's got something to prove now. He's got to prove now. He's shown that it wasn't a flash in the pan, it wasn't a fluke, and he didn't have that sophomore slump. In fact, if anything, his sophomore season was even more phenomenal than his rookie season.
Yeah, and you know how Dallas fans are.
Yeah.
Dallas fans of any sport in Dallas, if you're not doing the same or better 5 games in, oh boy. So, and you know, as the, what do I call myself? The writer, wannabe writer hopeful. I don't know. I've been paid to write before, so I don't know what to call myself. But the writer side of me goes, okay, this guy has the deck stacked against himself because now he has to prove 100 points wasn't a fluke. He does. And he's going to have to build on that.
Huh? It's not even the amount of goals he scores now. You're right. It's the points now, too.
It's the points, not just the goals. And if he can't get within 1 point of that, us Stars fans are going to start calling for his head.
But you know what? I think Robo proved last season when he hit that slump that, you know what? He's like a duck. It just goes off his back. He doesn't let it bother him.
Yeah, that's true. Until he hits the freaking playoffs. Where'd he go then? And that is both the writer side of
the shadows during the playoffs. But I think it's because he garnered more attention.
I mean, it could have been that.
At that point, they understood and knew how much of a threat Robo was.
See, and back to my very original point when we first started this show, ever, 60 episodes ago, whatever it's been, it's better to have the team of relative unknowns. Because if X player can't do what he did last season, everybody's calling for him.
It is, but here's my counterpoint to that. If you are going to be a team of having a line as a known, you need someone who can pick up the pace when that known is targeted, like a Roope Hintz, which Roope Hintz did pick up the pace.
Oh, yeah, he did in a big way.
So,
like those two, if one wasn't scoring, the other one was. You said that yourself. And
yes.
You're right. And so,
it kind of makes it to where, okay, if you're going to, it's kind of the old rope-a-dope. If you're going to focus on my right hand, I'm going to show you, I'm going to hit you with my left. If you're going to focus on my left hand, I'm going to hit you with my right. You know, Muhammad Ali was great at it. You know, he was phenomenal at, you know, leaning against him ropes and swinging his head around and, you know, getting, you know, fighters to dang near punch themselves out without even landing a hit. And when you were looking at his right hand and you're looking at, you know, The key to a fighter like that is focus on their chest and not their hands. But unfortunately, a lot of fighters didn't, you know, have that mindset back then. They were focused on the hands. And, you know, while you're sitting there looking at his right hand, he'd catch you with that left hand jab. And, man, next thing, and you know, his jab was almost as strong as, you know, some people's right cross. You know, I mean, it was, you know, just a single jab of Muhammad Ali could knock you down. So, you know, and, you know, that's why they called it the sweet science, because it was kind of a science to him. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things. If you want to focus on, you know, if you want to focus on Robertson, well, guess what? Now we got Roope Hintz. Well, now you want to focus on Roope Hintz. Well, now guess what? We got Robertson. And it kind of creates that scenario of who are we going to focus on? And honestly and truly, if Steele, once again, is anything like a Johnston, and you were to put him on that Ben Johnston line with Steele, you could have two lines that have that type of playmakers. You know, oh, you want to focus on Johnston? Well, now you got Steele. Oh, who are you going to focus on now? Oh, you can't focus on. And then you got, you know, Ben, who is a magnificent, you know, a wonderful player in his own right and can score when he really wants to. Now who are you going to focus on?
I mean, you could easily have him in front of the net like Pavelski and Tippin. Yeah. You really could. I mean, Sagan did just as good a job as Pavelski when Pavelski went down, so there's that as well. You know, this team is dangerous all around. It's so wild.
What they need to work on is they need to have more lines that have that Robertson hints, you know, next man up mentality.
Yeah, they do.
And I think we've got some players that can fill in to create those type of situations.
Man, Duchesne still, oh wow.
Yeah.
Bork and Stankoven, you know, in their own rights, could probably do that. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's exciting. This is going to be fun. I think this is going to be a fun season. And if they can avoid, if whatever they do, if they can avoid the amount of overtime games, and I'm not talking wins, losses, and overtime. I'm just talking overtime games alone. If they can avoid that and turn some of those overtime games they had into solid wins, this team could really make a hell of a run this season.
I feel like when they acquired Duchesne, I feel like that was because they were tired of all those overtimes.
Yeah.
They were like, you know what?
On that.
You agree?
Yeah.
I feel like them looking at players that were bought out, finding Duchesne was just like, yeah, no, we can do better than that. And we're going to bring him in. Shock everybody.
Yeah.
Because nobody saw that coming, like we said in the last show. Nobody saw it coming.
Even Duchesne didn't even see it coming. And there's another player that I think has a chip on his shoulder.
Matt because Duchesne. Because the
situation went down. He went from, I'm comfortable, I have a contract, to, oh, wait, you bought me. I have nothing. What am I going to do now?
Oh, yeah. Craig Smith said the same thing. He's like, I got a chip on my shoulder, and, you know, I'm here to prove something. So,
well, honestly, truly, this may be, instead of the team of no names, this may be the team of chips on their shoulders. You know, you've got Johnston, that, in my opinion, I can't say that he does, but if it were me, I would, just on the lack of respect that he got. You know, you've got Duchesne, you've got Smith, you've got Ben, who should maybe have a chip on his shoulder because, oh, look how long you've been captain. Y'all haven't won a Stanley Cup yet.
You know? Like that one article I shared the other day or whatever it was, the one post. It's been 15 years. He's the longest tenured captain without a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. So that should put a chip on his shoulder. So if anything, this should be the team of the chip on the shoulder team. Forget all the no name or the known or the, you know, this, that, and another. No, this is the team with the chip on their shoulder.
They need to be the 2020 team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals and crank it up to 11.
Yeah.
They don't need to crank it up to 11. They need to crank it up to 40. Or whatever, because
I thought you were pulling a reference from This Is Spinal Tap. You know, I've got this amp here. Most amps go to 10. This one goes to 11 for when I want extra.
You're right. But I second guessed it. Like, no, they don't need to go to 11. They need to turn it all the way up.
All the way up.
Well, there you go.
That's it. Well, unfortunately, I am going to have to cut it quits now because I do have a few things I do got to get done today, although this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, me too. I could go on for hours, man. We'll have to do another show if you can in the next few days.
Well, probably not in the next few days. It's going to be in the next week, unfortunately, because I've got my grandson tomorrow, and then I'm back to work on Wednesday.
Oh, back to adulting.
And I have to work Labor Day. I've been selected to work Labor Day this year. So
what is that, next week?
Yeah, it's next Monday, so it may be until next Tuesday that we can do another show.
We'll iron out the details off the mic. No worries.
That'll work.
But anyways, I want to thank you for your time, my friend. This was always a lot of fun. Thank you for say again? Thank you so much, man. It truly means a lot to me. It truly means a lot that you voted for the show, that you're a part of the show. Like, I love you. I've loved you as long as I've known you. Like, it's not a fact. Or it's not a hidden fact, right? You know.
Your family, you know.
Yeah. Since I was 8, is that right?
Something like that.
Longer than that. I was like 3.
Yeah, trolling around the trailer park in your little car.
What a life. Man, when I say this dude is my lifelong best friend, he really has been. And so, you know, I hope y'all enjoy the show. I enjoy the time with him. I'm not going to take up any more of his time. I'm not going to take up any more of your time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. I love you, bro. Until next time.
Till next time. Go Stars.
Go Stars.